Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hello and welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Madonna Nemechek, and we are going to continue a little bit more on the subject of coronavirus. This will be coronavirus show number two. Hopefully you'll be hearing it when this is still relevant. We talked about the do's and don'ts, how to react, how not to have fear, how to pray, how to be a presence, how to be loving, how to hope, and not to give in to the fear of dying or the fear of illness or the fear of financial reverse, that God has a plan, and that we just need to trust that plan. And part of furthering God's plan is being who He needs us to be, not be sort of reclusive, scared people, afraid to interact, but still be a presence of hope and love for the world as it is. I wanted to quote, because of this situation, I thought a very nice message from Archbishop Gomez, who is the head of the United States Catholic of Conference of Catholic Bishops. This is what it says. With the worldwide outbreak of the coronavirus, we are confronted once more with the fragility of our lives. And again, we are reminded of our common humanity, that the peoples of this world are our brothers and sisters, and that we are all one family under God. This is the part that really spoke to me. God does not abandon us. He goes with us even now in this time of trial and testing. In this moment, it is important for us to anchor our hearts in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Now is the time to intensify our prayers and sacrifices for the love of God and the love of neighbor. Let us draw closer to one another in our love for Him and rediscover the things that truly matter in our lives. Amen. I thought that was beautifully put, right?
Beautifully put.
God does not abandon.
Let us find, rediscover the things that truly matter in our lives. Surely there are a number of us are reevaluating things because it's a dire time. And who are you going to turn to but to God? So,
amen. Paul put it beautifully in Philippians 4, one of my favorite passages, 4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. I think he had to say that because you probably had an epidemic of long faces in Philippi. Too.
Right.
2,000 years ago, right? There are probably enough people going around with sad, downcast, sour faces for him to have to say that. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. The Lord is near. This is a sentence I like. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then what happens when you do all those things? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
It's just embrace that. Keep saying it over and over and over again.
You know, a thought comes to mind. If you're alone at home and you're praying, Read the Psalms out loud. Read your scriptures out loud. Let the power of the word, I mean, it's the word of God, you know, it's more powerful than any sharp two-edged sword. Read it aloud. Speak it over yourself. Speak it over your families. Claim God's promises. You can get a little Pentecostal. It'll be fine. Nobody's going to see you, you know. But the angels and the Lord and the Lord himself and the saints and all the great communion of saints is by our side cheering us on as we claim that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The heart, the seat of emotions, and the mind, the seat of intellect, so that we understand the peace at all levels. So what is the peace of God which transcends all understanding? It's that peace that makes you feel peaceful in the middle of a virus pandemic, right?
Right.
It's the peace that makes you feel at peace when 2001 happened. You know, it's the peace that in the face of a bad diagnosis or a financial reversal or the loss of a person that preserves you. You can still be, I'm not saying don't be sad and don't experience regular human emotions, but subordinate your emotions to the truth that you know, which is God is in charge.
You know, I always would say in different situations, God will provide, God will provide, meaning he's going to provide the solution. We may not know what it is. We may not know when it's going to occur, but he will take care of us. You just have to claim that and hold on to that. And we're going to go through some times where we're going to have to be reminded and say this psalm over and over again, or this prayer over and over again, because it's going to be difficult for all of us.
You know, in my morning prayer today, it was funny. The Lord has a sense of humor. I was praying some psalm, I think it was Psalm 85, and there's a sentence in there that says, may the man, you know, what does it take for the righteous person to ascend the mountain of the Lord and stand in the holy place? It says a pure heart and clean hands. I had to laugh.
So you got out your disinfectant at that point in time.
Clean hands. It was so funny. I mean, I was like, oh, wow, that's so funny. Because, yes, I mean, we have such a premium on washing our hands and having clean hands. But I think what they mean is let us be clean. Let us be clean of fear. Let us be clean of unrighteousness. Let us be, you know, purified and pure of heart. Those are the requirements, I think.
And words come to mind to me like nothing is impossible for God. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to go back and those verses and those prayers that you truly enjoy and that are very special to you. Go back and keep saying them over and over again. In times of distress, pray. Don't worry. It's like Padre Pio, pray, hope, and don't worry.
That's right. There's a great... let's see, where's my Bible? There's, comes to mind is the whole series of Psalms, like Psalm 16 and Psalm 18 and Psalm 118. And they're all about how God keeps us in perfect peace, whose heart is stayed on him. There's Psalm 18 is always a great one as well. It's, you can tell, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies, from the coronavirus, from financial reversal, from, you know, from whatever. The cords of death encompassed me. The snares of death confronted me. How appropriate is that today, right? In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. Out of the brightness before him, there broke through the clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent his arrows and scattered them. Scattering what? Scattering coronavirus, scattering financial fears, scattering fear of death, etc. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? You light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. Yes, by you I can crush a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The promise of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him.
And you mentioned Psalm 118.
This is Psalm 18. And then there's
Psalm 118.
Psalm 118, Psalm 16.
Yeah.
Also,
in danger I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is with me. I am not afraid. What can mortals do against me?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is with me as my helper. I shall look in triumph on my foes. Better to take refuge in the Lord than to put one's trust in mortals. Better to take refuge in the Lord than to put one's trust in princes.
Mm-hmm. Put not your trust in princes.
Yeah.
That's always a good one. You know. I mean, I think that there's, you know, if you're at home and you don't know what else to do, turn to the Psalms. I mean, you, especially when you're in times of trouble, they seem to speak even more loudly. I mean, they're always cool, right? But it's when you're in trouble that I think that it makes all the difference, right?
It does. It absolutely does.
You know, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, this is the day the Lord has made, coronavirus and everything, right? Mm-hmm. Even if it's raining outside. In what shall we put trust, our trust? I think that's important. There's even that passage, I think it's in Proverbs. It's Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will dwell in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. So, you know, this is kind of like a little segue into, I think, a collateral topic that we're going to address today, which is studying, you know, having a prayer time, studying your Bible. You know, there's many ways in which we can approach the scriptures, which are, of course, the Word of God, like we just demonstrated to you. I hope you were reassured by the things that we share today, by the scriptures that we share today. But remember that because it is the Word of God, it really needs to be approached in a spirit of prayer, right?
Right, exactly.
So, I think that we're using this article that you pointed out, Mary Lou, called Four Things to Pray Before Opening the Bible. So, yes, prayer is important. I mean, you know, it kind of makes no sense, I think, to approach the scriptures, which are the Word of God, without actually asking God, you know.
Right.
You know, this is your deal, God. What do you want to do with this? You know, what do you want me to take out of this? You know, and that's, I think, the result of a lot of there is a bunch of scholarship out there that tends to just look at the Word of God as like it's one other ancient group of writings, and they approach it analytically and dispassionately, and they don't allow the text to speak to them. But that should be 180 degrees from what we should do. We should remember that a prayerless approach to God's word is a major reason for the low level of dissatisfaction that hums beneath the surface of our lives. This is taken from that article.
Well, you know, you just read from the Psalms. I mean, if there's something to be inspiring, it's certainly that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that our approach to scripture should be one of anticipation, of one that when you're reading scripture, it is. You know, the word speaking to you, and there's going to be bits and pieces that are going to hit your heart in such a way that it's going to stick with you forever. And that's what you want. I mean, it is the love letter to us. And those words are just as important today as when they were first put on paper hundreds, thousands of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I love this. I'm convinced that a prayerless approach to God's word is powerless. So prayerless Christianity is powerless Christianity. Oh. So it's really even hard to say that you're a Christian if you haven't talked to your master today, right? Or yesterday or whenever, or that you're not in a constant conversation. Because if he is the Lord and the master, if he is the center, if he is the one from whom you depend upon your next breath, it would make sense to be a nodding acquaintance with him, you know?
No kidding.
To be able to speak to him, right?
Right.
So, don't rush into your Bible reading expecting the pages to magically microwave your cold heart. I thought that was kind of cute. God is sovereign, which is another way of saying that he's God and he will do what he wants, even if sometimes his plans are not our plans and his ways are not our ways, to quote from Isaiah 55. Okay. So there's an acronym that is being offered in this article. It corresponds to a prayer in the Psalms. I-O-U-S. I incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. That's Psalm 119:30. Okay, basically the idea is every day I need to be peeled away from my preoccupation of self. And we all do, right? And so this prayer, I have to ask. I have to ask, Lord, that you will incline that I will be able to incline my mind to you and not just to my own needs and desires. I-O-U-S. Open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things. Psalm 119, verse 18. In many ways, reading the Bible is also like reading other books, but we need to approach it like it's breathed through by the third person of the eternal Trinity, which he did, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves bringing God's word to life day after day in the hearts of those who are blinded by the tyranny of worthless things. What a great quotation, right?
No kidding.
What has captured your imagination? What is enamoring the eyes of your heart? When you open the Bible, don't expect to be put under some mystical spell. I don't think too many people really think that way. I think it's probably the other way around. It's kind of like sometimes I know people who play Bible roulette.
Yeah.
Right? Who like saying, okay, Lord, tell me what's the situation. Then they open the Bible at random and it's something like sacrifice your firstborn or, you know, something like that, which is kind of not the way to approach it, right? Speak directly with the author. Ask the Spirit to unblind us to the beauty staring us in the face. So it quotes a Protestant minister, very famous one, Charles Spurgeon. Texts will often refuse to reveal their treasures until you open them up with a key of prayer. So and then you unite my heart to fear your name. Psalm 86:11. The Bible teaches us that we should not fear Satan. We should fear God. Okay. We want basically to have an approach in which we're a little less distracted when we read the scriptures, right?
Right.
We want to have a united heart. We want to pay attention. We want to concentrate. We want to, you know, we must pray earnestly for a united heart, lest it drift towards being divided, distracted, and distant from the words of the living God. That makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. You know, of course, in our Catholic tradition, we have the great tradition of adoration, which is going to sit before the Blessed Sacrament and adore him and just sit in his presence. And, you know, sometimes, you and I are in the adoration chapel all the time.
Right.
I always see people who are asleep. Like, we're talking asleep and snoring, right? No gentle naps there, you know? And it's like, what better place to snooze?
I know.
Right? Before the Blessed Sacrament, before the Lord of the Universe, Thérèse of Lisieux used to speak about how I know that God loves me even when I cannot keep my eyes open and I have to take a nap. Right?
Yep. Right.
And then the final letter is S. Satisfies in the morning with your steadfast love. That's Psalm 90, verse 14. Sometimes we're dissatisfied with God. Like, we hear about the great promises of Scripture, and our minds are so set on material things that we're like, oh, yeah, the heavenly city, the golden streets, yeah, he will give us peace, but really, I want, mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
But we can be happy only if we look to God. You know, think about Augustine. You have created us for yourself, O Lord, and we will be restless until we rest in you. That we have that God-shaped vacuum in our heart. And if we want to be filled up with other things, we're never going to be happy. But if we want to be happy, God is there. You need to realize that holiness corresponds to happiness, I think. Right? So ask the Spirit to unblind us to the beauty staring us in the face. The compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God or spiritual type thing to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never feel you have enough. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, which they do, you will die a million deaths before they plant you in the ground. Worship power, and you will end up feeling weak and afraid. and you will need ever more power over others to plumb you to your own fear, or to numb you to your own fear. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart, and you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. But the insidious things about these forms of worship is they're unconscious, they're default settings. Paul would call them strongholds, right?
Right.
That quotation from novelist David Foster Wallace in a commencement speech. So, you know, what's the point is put your trust in the right things. Put your trust in the Lord. He alone can preserve us. And this is why we need to approach God's word prayerfully, and not only God's word, but every moment of every day. Thank you for joining us.
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY, that's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.